This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. It's awesome to have you with us, and we chat some swimming today on the podcast, and it's a great pleasure to welcome back on. We head all the way to the United States, Jeff Favart. Welcome, Jeff, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Good to be back.
Jeff, in our first chat, you mentioned that you didn't come from a particularly strong background in any of the disciplines. You had run a little bit, but swimming and cycling definitely weren't your forte. Did you find that swimming came quite easily to you once you got into it?
We talked a little bit about A-type personalities last time, and no. So when I first hopped into the pool, I thought I had been surfing for years before triathlon, so I thought swimming was going to come very easy. And the first time I tried to put my head in and swim freestyle across the pool, I almost couldn't make it down and back. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought. So I quickly actually went out and got a book and started doing some reading about how to do a proper freestyle. So I think that was my A-type personality right away, that I tried to do it right, although I didn't necessarily have a lot of coaching right away. I tried to at least use some resources to make sure that I was trying to do it the right way.
You got the manual, Jeff. You're the only guy I've ever met that's ever read a manual. That's amazing.
Yep. Unfortunately, it took a really long time to figure out the parts. But
you talk about getting help, and even though it wasn't a coach, you got a book and help and sort of found your way that way. It is important to seek out the help of others on this journey. I mean, you can learn from others' mistakes, and it's sometimes good just to get a different perspective.
Sure. Well, and then I think it was about 6 months in to my swimming journey that after starting triathlon, I actually did find a local coach here in the area and just had her take a look at me and give me some feedback. And, you know, just a tiny bit does go a long way.
What's been some of the biggest gains that you've made in the water? What have you done to get them?
I think in the long term, increasing the frequency of my swim sessions has probably been one of the key things. I think I trained for my very first time in 2008. I was typically swimming two or three times a week, and I would slowly build those up to where I was swimming 4,000 or 5,000 yards. But you know, sometimes it would be 3 or 4 days in between swim sessions. Later on, I think it was around in the 2012 time period, I started trying to swim 5 days a week, and even if the volume might be the same. So, you know, if I had been swimming, say, three sessions of 5,000 meters or 5,000 yards and getting 15,000 across the week, then up and do five swims of 3,000. So I might be spending the same amount of time per week in the pool, but having more frequency. And that seemed to dramatically bring improvements in my swimming.
That's quite interesting. What would you attribute that to? Just the sort of muscle memory of doing the same sort of actions over and over, getting better at it?
Absolutely. Well, and I do think, too, swimming, it's a from a technicality standpoint of the three disciplines, it's probably the most technical. So small changes can hurt or hinder your efficiency in the water, you know, very, very dramatically. So if you are fresh in the water and you can focus on doing good things, if you're trying to do a small change to your stroke and you can maintain that for a certain amount of time, say 2,000 or 3,000 yards, but by the end of it, if you're just getting tired and fatigued, you may fall back to old habits and you just start practicing, you know, that and not getting the benefit of improving your stroke. You're just getting some fitness benefit. But being really fit in the water doesn't necessarily equate to being very fast in the water.
I think that's brilliant. Let's talk about favorite workouts. I'm guessing it's not being tethered to a hotel swimming pool.
No. My least favorite would be hooked to the wall of a small hotel pool for sure.
Your favorite?
You know, I think over the last 3 years, one thing that my coach has had me do a lot more of, and I've really enjoyed, is swimming using fins. So descending sets with doing normal freestyle, but wearing fins. So I might do multiple sets of, say, 4x50, descending each on 45 or 50 second send off. And I might be swimming, you know, a 50 second per 100-yard pace, but I could never achieve that without the fins. And the interesting thing is, when the water's so dense that you get it, the faster you go, the more feedback you get if you're doing something poorly. You know, you can feel water pushing against you in weird places. So doing a lot of the fast fin workouts has been really, really, really good. You tend to swim, say, a speed zone or two or three faster for any given effort. So you can actually focus, and instead of just working really hard to go fast, even when maybe not going super hard, you can get a lot of this feedback and actually, you know, tell what's going on versus just thrashing yourself.
Yeah, it's almost like doing some wind tunnel work on the bike to sort of see aerodynamics wise, and that's the sort of feedback you get. And using the fins in the water is very similar to that sort of strategy.
Yep, and that's been really, really good. I've enjoyed that. And then the only other one that's kind of been very unique and for me was starting to use a swim snorkel. And for me, it came out of a necessity. In 2015, at the end of the season, I herniated a disc and didn't really realize it, but had suffered on and off with some really weird pains and numbness in my arm and all sorts of weird things for a whole, you know, most of that season, until it really culminated at the end. And so I got diagnosed with an ortho and had an MRI and realized I had herniated the disc in my neck, and the swimming seemed to aggravate it the most. And so I used to bilaterally breathe exclusively, except for really, really hard efforts. And so he started, luckily the ortho was pretty smart with a lot of sports stuff. He said, well, you know, the way the herniation is in your neck, it, when you're turning to the left, the facets in the vertebrae or whatever, you know, would be probably compressing that nerve and just hitting it over and over and over and over while swimming and breathing to that left side, he said, is probably just really aggravating that nerve where the herniation is. And so he had me start swimming with a snorkel, and I swam almost an entire month. I had to take about 2.5 months off swimming completely to let the flare up completely go down. And then I basically swam an entire month with nothing but the snorkel for every stroke to see if I could swim without it hurting. And it was fine. So then, I can only breathe to the right now. Without aggravating that again. But it was unique because I found swimming with the, although I hated it at first, it was really, really hard to do, you know, more than 50 or 100 yards because the breathing changes, everything just changes with the snorkel. But once I got used to it, I found that I was able actually to focus on my stroke even better.
Oh, brilliant. Cool. Well, Jeff, let's leave it there. We'll chat about your bike next time out, but I think there are a couple of good things in there that people can try out and see if it works for them. Thanks for your time today on the Kone Edge.
Sounds good.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kone Edge. If you want to improve your swim, be sure to check out our next free live online swim seminar. Get to theKoneEdge.com/swimseminar to sign up now.